We've been studying the book of Proverbs for the last few weeks. Proverbs is this amazing book that's part of the Old Testament. So it was written before the coming of Jesus. It was put together or compiled, and much of it written by this man named Solomon, who was a king in Israel. But the idea of Proverbs is just real simple. What does it look like to live in a fallen world with wisdom? The world is tough. The world is hard. There are all kinds of issues and struggles and challenges in this world. And Proverbs asks us to take a stop, to stop for a minute, to take a step back and to look at our lives through the lens of God's purpose, literally to see our lives through God's eyes and to apply the beauty of his call, the wonder of his grace, his purpose in our lives, to apply that accordingly. And Proverbs just addresses everything. It addresses everything in life. It addresses what it looks like to live in this world with our wealth and our money or in our poverty and our struggle. It looks at what it looks like to live in this world with, as a husband and a wife or as a single person. It talks about sex. It talks about friendships. I mean, just really every area of life, Proverbs throws ideas out there and kind of, most of the time, in really short, pithy, simple sayings, tells us what the world, what it looks like to live in this world with God's wisdom as part of who we are. And so this morning we're going to talk specifically about laziness. Reminds me of a guy who went to the doctor and said, "Doctor, I'm struggling. I'm having this really hard time. I just can't get everything I used to get done. I just don't do everything I used to do. I used to do all this work around the house. I just don't do it anymore. I used to do all this lawn work. I don't do it anymore. I find it really hard to get out of bed and go to work every day. Can you tell me what's wrong?" And the doctor just started checking everything out. Finally got to the end. He said, "You know, I've come to the conclusion that your problem is that you are just lazy." And the guy said, "That's fine, but can you give me the technical term so I can explain it to my wife?" Ba-dum-bum. Okay, that one dropped like a lead balloon. But anyway, we were talking about what it looks like to be lazy. And the first thing that happens, a lot of people in this room are already going, "Oh man, I'm off the hook. I work hard, so I don't have to worry about this." Well, I promise you, we will get to a part of the sermon that is for everybody in this room. But we're going to talk about the personification of laziness and this title in the scriptures that is called the sluggard. Or in the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs keeps calling the lazy person a sluggard. I just love that term. It's like we have devolved from being a human to a slug. You know, this leech thing that just sucks the life out of everything but doesn't ever move, just kind of sits in place. Some of you are looking up here going, "Why do they have a mess on stage?" And some of you are sitting in here going, "How did they get my kid's bedroom on stage?" We're picturing maybe the person who is playing video games and watching TV around the clock and just doesn't clean up. What this really needed was a big old giant thing of empty Doritos, right? And it would have been perfect. We'd have been ready to go. The person who just can't seem to get motivated, can't seem to get going. And what happens as we read Proverbs, this book that just has wisdom, Proverbs keeps speaking to us about our lives. What it looks like to live in this world. This world is broken. This world, we are fallen people who have chosen to live with ourselves as God rather than knowing the true God of that exists, that created everything. And so as we live as ourselves as God, there are always challenges in this world that tend to call to us. And we've talked about the fact that Proverbs tells us that wisdom is a path, wisdom is a woman, and wisdom is a treasure. As a path, wisdom says, "Listen, go this direction, and as you pursue this direction, as opposed to this direction or that direction, as you pursue this direction, wise living in the world, the outcome will be that you will experience God's blessing in your life." But there's all kind of paths we can take. Wisdom is a woman. And the reason it uses this language is because most of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a dad talking to his teenage boys. And he's letting them know that there are two women who are always whispering in your ear. There's the woman who is wisdom, and there's the woman who is folly. And the challenge always is, be careful which woman you're listening to. And then wisdom is a treasure. We're reminded all throughout Proverbs that if you listen to the voice of wisdom, it is better than gold, silver, riches, because it will lead to, ultimately, to joy. Because God created us to experience joy as we live in his purpose. And the outcome of obeying and trusting and holding on to Jesus and following Christ and living in wisdom, the outcome is our joy as we live for God's glory, but we experience joy in our lives. And I don't know anybody who would say, "Hey, you know, would you like joy?" "No, I have no interest in that." But what happens is that we think we will find joy in something other than Christ. And so for the sluggard, there is a voice whispering in his ears. There is a path that is being cut, but there's a separate path that is a path towards comfort. There is a voice that is whispering, and the voice of folly is saying, don't be motivated. Just hang out, chill out, play video games, watch, every episode of every geeky movie you've ever seen, memorize them. There is a voice that is calling to us saying, you don't need to go do that. Just kind of hang loose. And we don't get motivated. And there's this voice that is calling to us. The other woman, the woman of folly, is calling to us saying, don't be motivated. Don't follow the path of the diligent. Follow the path of the sluggard. Now, nobody wakes up when they're 15 years old and goes, the goal of my life is that when I'm 35 years old, I'm still living with my parents in their basement, right? But what happens is that there's a path that is cut through here that if we're not careful, all of us can find ourselves in. And we will find that if we listen to the voice of wisdom, we will find a treasure. But here's the problem, and this is what I want to spend a moment this morning being careful about this. Because if I'm not careful here, you'll hear every sermon in Proverbs, and you will think the application is go try harder. Self-improvement. The path to joy, the path to God's purpose is self-improvement. So we're lazy. Let's work hard on not being lazy. We'll get better at this. And this is what Proverbs, as we read Proverbs in the context of the rest of the Bible, what we will find is as we read through Proverbs, we will come on some descriptions that fit us and that are dangers. And we'll come upon some descriptions that we're like, that's not me. And some of us in here, you may start, as we get into this, the very first thing is, listen, this isn't me. I've always been motivated. But there are other descriptions in Proverbs that will fit you, that will be the voice of wisdom. And you will go, man, I've kind of journeyed down this path for a while. And I know that there's struggle and brokenness in my life because I've pursued this path. It may not be the path of the sluggard that we're talking about this morning. It may be the path of the person who is the other end of the sluggard. You have made work your God. And you think riches and achievement will give you joy. And you have sacrificed on the altar of those things, your kids, your own Sabbath and the ability to be healthy emotionally. And so it's easy to come to the sluggard and go, well, I can check this box and check out. This isn't me. But there are other places in Proverbs where if this isn't you, something else will be. And our response to that, this is where I got to be careful. Because if you don't hear me right, you're going to hear, well, if you're a sluggard, suck it up, work harder, be better. And what happens anytime we find something in the Bible that describes us and it says, don't be that, we need to be careful that our first response is to apply the gospel to it. So let me explain what I mean. Let's just apply it to this right away. We're going to talk about the person who's a sluggard. And if you're sitting in here this morning, all of a sudden you're like, man, this is kind of the path I'm going down. This describes me. And you may be 15, you may be 50, but this you may say, this kind of fits my life. If you're not careful, what you're going to come out of here is let's come up with 5 steps so that we can get rid of our laziness. The gospel response is to realize that every time I find myself in scripture and it describes me in a way that says this leads to brokenness, when I see myself there, the response is to realize that this is showing me that I need a savior. I can't rescue myself. Like, this is one of the really good ones. If this is a tendency in you, if you're kind of like Jim Gaffigan, and I will tell you that there's a little bit of this sermon that is preaching out to me, okay? That if I just drift, I will spend a lot of time just sitting in my chair with the remote, with that bag of Doritos I talked about a few minutes ago, right? Just chilling and will not find motivation to get moving in things that I need to do. But as I discover myself in the scripture and it says, this is not the right path, that I'm kind of listening to the wrong woman, that I'm not pursuing the right way, wisdom is not being applied to my life. The response to that is that shows me that I cannot save myself, I cannot overcome me, I cannot rescue myself, I need a rescuer. And the response is to run to Jesus, who has already died for my sin. He has paid the penalty for being the sluggard. And he is the path to cleansing and restoration, which means as I trust in him as I look to Christ as my Lord and my King, and I pursue him, he is going to call me to life transformation, but he is also going to put the power of the Holy Spirit in me to be what I can't be on my own. That's the difference. And so as we're here today, and if you see yourself in some of this, I just want to encourage you, the response is to look to Jesus, not look to your own willpower to overcome. That's gospel. And so as we look at the sluggard, we're looking at this guy who is lazy. The Bible uses the term over 14 times, just that one term, sluggard, and that uses a lot of other terms to refer to the person who is lazy. So it's a major issue in the book of Proverbs. And so what happens, the call of the sluggard here, you see this, is the path to least resistance. The woman who cries to him is the cry of comfort and ease. And see, this is the real problem, is that the sluggard, it's not just that he sits around and does nothing, or she sits around and does nothing. It's that they are continually choosing the path of least resistance in their life. The path that leads to, this isn't going to be hard, it's not going to be difficult, I can take the short route. And the call is to just be comfortable, to be at ease, to not have any hardship, to not have any struggle. And it creates a path that is very, very dangerous. So if you have a Bible, grab it. If you have it on your app, go ahead and open it to Proverbs 24. And if you don't have a Bible, at the end of your rows, we have Bibles for you. We'd love for you to grab one of those. Pass them down, make sure everybody has one. We're gonna start in Proverbs chapter 24. So we'll be on page 464 in those Bibles, so you can read along with us. If you're a guest, or even if you hang out for a while, these Bibles, you are welcome to take those. Summer's a great time to grab a few Bibles and take them and give them to neighbors. Or if you're a guest with us and you don't have a good Bible at home that is easy for you to use, we'd love for you to take this as our gift to you this morning. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. And then we're going to read Proverbs 26 here in just a minute. We're going to see two descriptions of this lazy, this sluggard, this dude who's devolved from being a man to a slug. It says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. And then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Hear what he says. He says, you know, he's walking by the field and he comes past a guy and, you know, everybody knows this guy. His reputation precedes him. He is, you know, the guy who, rather than getting out and working, he is constantly defaulting back to his lazy boy, right? He is always just hanging out in his house and he doesn't come out. He doesn't plant. He doesn't reap or doesn't toil. He doesn't prune. He doesn't take care of the walls. And he says, I walked by this field and I saw that, you know, it was grown up with nettles instead of with grapes and with produce. The wall was knocked down, which means anybody can come in and take anything they want. So the few grapes that he had, it was just easy for people to steal. And all of a sudden it dawned on him, this is not the right path. This is not the way to go. This is not the way to live. And what Proverbs here does is he says, I saw and considered it. He sees the path to ease, the path to being a lazy person. And he realizes that this path is not, you know, something that just happens overnight. It is something that is based on daily decisions of saying, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to pursue my life in this world? And so what takes place here is the path of a person who lands in this area, like I said, it's not something where they just wake up when they're 18 years old and go, this is the way I want to live my life. It's just like every day just making a little bit of a decision on, I'm going to live this way. Instead of studying, I'm going to, you know, play video games. Instead of going out and getting a job, I'm gonna watch the World Cup because, man, we gotta see it all, right? Instead of going out and pursuing marriage, I'm gonna do these things. And the world will keep presenting us with great alternatives to the things that the Bible calls us to. They become the path of least resistance. They're the easy things to pursue. Now, hear me in all this, okay? I'm not saying video games are bad. I'm not saying watching ESPN is bad. I'm not saying watching the World Cup is bad. I'm not saying that having a few Doritos is bad. I'm not saying any of that. But what happens is that the sluggard gets lost in these things when there is the call to live wisely, the call to pursue diligence, the call to do the things that we're supposed to do so that we become mature, helpful people in this culture. And especially as Christ followers, mature, helpful Christians who are part of the church, And there are all these things that are calling us out to us. And what happens is we get lost in them, and then we begin to rejoice in how good we are at these things that really have no meaning rather than pursuing the path of wisdom. And so the sluggard, listen to how he says this. It's very interesting. Over, if you'll flip over to chapter 26 here, he says this, verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road and the lion in the streets. The door turns on its hinges, and so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. He says four things about the sluggard. They're all kind of funny. If you pay attention, just kind of how he lays this out. First of all, he says, the sluggard says there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets. Now, if there's really a lion in the road, lion in the streets, he's probably helpful. But that's not the point here, okay? Here's what happens. The sluggard is sitting there, and his wife goes, would you get off your rear end and go get a job? We're not making the ends meet. We're broke. And he's like, I can't go out that door. There might be a lion out there. I might get eaten. I might never make it home. Hey, you know, this is the person that's, you know, you're like, hey, get going in life, pursue. And they're like, it's hot. Yes, I know it's hot, but we have to survive. I got a blister. If I go try to, it's those people won't like me. Come on. Always having an excuse. There's a lion in the streets. I'll get eaten. If I go out there, I'll just get eaten. The path of wisdom says, if you get eaten, you get eaten. Get going. But see, the sluggard is just like, there's always a reason. There is always a reason for the procrastination. If why do today what I can put off till tomorrow? That's kind of their phrase, right? Why should I get up today? I mean, listen, I'm only young for so long, which means I can only sleep till noon till I'm about 22. Problem is, if you sleep till noon till you're 22, when you're 22, there's not going to be anything to wake up to, right? But there's always a reason. We're coming up with a reason not to be diligent, not to pursue. This is what the sluggard does. Second thing, look what he says. He says, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. Their favorite thing in the world is the snooze button on their alarm clock. Now, I'll be real honest. The snooze button and alarm clock is one of God's great gifts to people. I don't know how people did it back, you know, in farm days when the sun first came up, the cock crowed, and then they're jumping up, putting on their boots. And I know a few people like that. They're annoying. I know. They go on a mission trip, man. They're flipping on the lights at 5:30 in the morning. It's like, what is wrong with you? God made us to stay up late, right? And sleep late. And the snooze button. But see, here's the problem, that we get into rhythms in life, and all of a sudden, we're just tossing and turning. When it's time to wake up, we don't get out of bed. We're hitting a snooze alarm. We're hitting, then hit it again. And all of a sudden, we set our alarm for 8 o'clock because we have to get up at 8:30, but we've hit the snooze alarm 14 times. It's 11 o'clock, and we're still hitting the snooze alarm. We love sleep. Now, the Bible also tells us that that sleep is a gift from God. So don't hear this wrong and say, well, sleeping's bad, therefore we should only get 4 hours sleep. No, you should get a good 8 hours of sleep. But if you're staying up till midnight and getting up at 10, when you should be getting out of bed and being diligent about your work, this is a challenge. Now, I'm gonna let you know, here's a little secret about Mike. Summer stinks with this for me. Because what happens is when it's school year, I have real clear rhythms. There's 3 days a week where I have to get up and be somewhere by 6:30-ish. And so I'm getting out of bed before 6 a.m. And those days, I mean, you know, by 10 o'clock at night, I'm, you know, my eyes are, you know, doing this and I'm getting tired and it's like, all right, let's go to bed. But then the other days of the week, the kids are going to school, it's really easy to get out of bed. But, because I got to do the dad thing. I got to get Josiah, make sure he's ready, make sure every kid's out the door, help Heidi get on her way to school, all this kind of stuff. But during summer, that all stops. And she can sleep in, and so it's real easy for me just all of a sudden start drifting on several days a week to where all of a sudden my whole rhythms are out of whack, and I'm not even listening to these own passages. And he says, man, this person struggles with this. This person also, in verse 15, this is hilarious. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. In Proverbs 19:15, it's restated like this. Proverbs 19:15 says, slothfulness casts in deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. In other words, Here's the picture. The person who's slothful is just lazy, and here he is. I mean, let's picture him. My daughter told me not to sit on here because one of the things are broken. I almost did it, and that wouldn't have been funny because it had rolled back, and you guys would laugh. But here's the guy sitting here, and he's got his hand covered up to here in Doritos. It's all over his face, and he is now so tired. He's got his hand stuck in the bag of Doritos, and it is just too much effort to bring his hand back up to his mouth. That's the picture that's being painted here. It's the remote, like, infomercial, you know? I mean, it's the person, it's too much work now to just lift my hand out of the jar of M&Ms and bring it to my mouth and eat it. I'm so worn out. What are you worn out from? I've been sitting here all day eating Doritos. That's what I'm tired from. That's this person. He says, he's just kind of hanging out. Then the sluggard, verse 16 there says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than 70 men who can answer sensibly. He says, you know, the person who is this lazy person, they think they have the world figured out. They think they're the brilliant ones. I mean, those people who work hard, man, I don't do nothing. I got this job that pays me just enough to get by. It's awesome, man, because I can do this for 18 hours a day. I can just sit in my chair and do all the stuff that I love to do, or I can just hang out. You know, I don't have to do anything. It's the greatest job in the world. And what the Bible begins to say is the person who starts cutting that path runs into all kinds of trouble. Let me give you four things that the scriptures, the Proverbs, and we're going to read Proverbs and show you these. Four things that Proverbs tells us about this path where the outcomes for the sluggard. First of all, the sluggard will find poverty and scarceness. Proverbs 10 verses 4 and 5 say this. Slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in the harvest is the son who brings shame. You hear that? The person who is a sluggard, who is slow, who doesn't work, who sleeps in the harvest, that leads to poverty. But the hand of the diligent, the one who works hard, who sees this path, who lives wisely, and makes rich. Now, let me explain riches real quick in Proverbs. We're going to come back to this later. But when Proverbs talks about somebody being rich, we are not talking about somebody who is living, you know, and they've got the, you know, the gated community and the big $2 million house. Rich in Proverbs means that you have enough to feed your family on a daily basis. You have your needs met and there is some surplus. You are able to be generous and you are able to leave a little bit of a legacy. So based on the definition of Proverbs, everybody that we're talking about, everybody who lives in Eureka needs to understand that that's basically most of us, probably all of us in some way. We have enough to provide for our needs. We can eat every day. We're not wondering if we're going to wake up tomorrow morning hungry. But it says, listen, if you have a slack hand, there's a trajectory that leads to poverty. But if you're diligent, God provides. Now, Proverbs are not always promises. They are principles. Are there people who work really hard and end up broke? Yes. Are there people who are lazy as can be and somehow pull it off and have all the money they need? Sure there are. But the general path of the person who is the sluggard is towards poverty. Second outcome is that the sluggard will lead to an unsatisfied life. Proverbs 13 says this. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. It's not just the world, but the soul of the sluggard. They want something, but at the end, their life is empty. But there's something about pursuing work and being diligently and how God supplies to the soul of that person beauty and wonder and purpose. Third thing is poor reputation. Look at this, Proverbs 18:9. Whoever is slack in work is a brother to him who destroys. Now listen to this clearly. This is a really interesting verse. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. We know that a vandal is a problem, right? We know that. Somebody comes in and destroys stuff. But what the writer of Proverbs was saying is actually true. The person who has a job but doesn't work or lives in a culture and doesn't work, and because they don't work, they've become the sluggard, and now they are sucking from all the people who do. The writer of Proverbs is saying that person is equal to the vandal, and they're right. If you study culturally, like in America, the outcome of people who are lazy in our culture, not everybody out of work is out of work because they're lazy. Don't hear this. There are a lot of people who really desire a job, who work hard, But the outcome in our culture of the people who just won't get a job and won't work and have no desire to do anything but be this guy, the outcome of our culture is massive. Massive. And so all of a sudden their reputation, they're known. I mean, like, in a very real way, this personification, calling them a sluggard, we're like, we live in a PC world, we shouldn't call people names. But Proverbs just uses this like, personifies this person and goes, there he is. And what's really interesting in our culture is that if you pay attention to, like, TV and movies, like a lot of people in Proverbs, the Proverbs says, don't be that guy. What's happened over the last 15, 20, 30 years is that the way this person is personified in TV and movies has gone from being a person who's negative to a person who's very positive. Like, for example, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, when you found this person in a show, he was like the drunk in the Andy Griffith Show, right? It's not a positive character. But then we got George Costanza. And now, the person who is this person in most sitcoms is one of the great comedy relief characters in the show. Right? And so what happens is our culture has just kind of embraced, but there is a brokenness to the world that comes from this. And the last outcome here I'll tell you is that it creates a difficult path for the person, a very difficult path. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. In other words, there is a point in this, like if you choose this path, or if you don't choose it, but it finds you, there's a point in your life where you no longer get to choose what you will do to take care of yourself. It will be chosen for you. And so what I want to do is I want to apply this in two directions this morning. Let me just give you two general directions to apply it. And the first application is I literally want to speak to everybody in here who's young for a few minutes. And I want to encourage you. I spent 20 years in youth ministry, which means I've got hundreds of kids who walked through eight years of doing middle school and high school and youth ministry and then going into their college years. I've watched them walk through these years. I've watched some of the life trajectories they've set. And there is something that has happened in the last 15, 20 years in our culture that is crazy, as this person in our culture has grown like crazy, especially in the young adult, the young adult years. When I was growing up, hard work was a deep value in our culture. Now, I've already said you can take hard work and turn that into a sinful value. You can make that into a god. So, but there was a value so that even kids who weren't quote-unquote achievers in my high school age understood that they had to, like, cut a path towards something very real during their high school and into their early adult years, or it would be a problem. But as I started doing youth ministry, I started noticing that there was a massive cultural change, and kids were no longer seeing their teen years and their early adult years as the formation years. They were seeing adolescence has kept growing to where now there are culturalists who are saying adolescence is between the age of 12 and 30. Like, 30. My voice is still squeaking. I'm still getting zits. Still trying to ask a girl to the prom. I'm 28 years old, right? That's happened. And what I've seen over the years, and I say this like how bold do I get with some of you? But I'm just saying this lovingly. This is what I watched. I watched kids in high school who had abilities and gifts and talents. And maybe they weren't the greatest in school, or maybe they were decent in school, but they just didn't cut a path towards that. And you'd watch them go on things like mission trips, and they were always trying to find the shade somehow. And man, they were great video game players. And I know I'm picking on that, but I think this is one of the things in culture that has pulled people to the couch. Man, we're playing video games for hours. And I'll never forget going to visit some students on a college campus, and I got to the campus, and they wanted to show me their dorm suite. And I walk into their suite, and they are so proud of it. They've got this middle room that is supposed to be like the area where you do life, but you are also, there's like a couple sleeping areas, and they had literally, in the dorm, torn down a wall in the dorm room. and he created the ultimate man cave. They had three, back then what were big screen TVs, which today would be nothing, but they had three of them with all the latest video game gear. They had a bedroom, I'm not making this up, that was made for two people. They had six mattresses in that room. And all their clothes were like just spewing everywhere. There wasn't a place for a dresser. They were, it was like the coolest thing. And I walked in, I was like, wow. And I started chit-chatting with someone. I'm like, well, how's school going? I'm missing the, you know, and they're kind of warning that if I don't get my grades up, how late up? Well, we stay up to like 3 a.m. almost every night playing video games. What? And this was kind of they were proud of this. And I was just like, oh. I'm mean to my nine-year-old. My nine-year-old will come up the stairs after playing something on his video game and say, man, I just won a baseball game. I'll high-five him. I'm like, I'm so proud of my virtual son. My virtual son is my hero. My virtual son is going to be the best baseball player and is going to take care of us in our retirement years. Yay! You know? But something is going on. And here's what's happened. I'm just telling you. I'm being gut honest with some of you young people about a conversation I've had probably 30 times in the last 10 years. I get a phone call from somebody who's like 28, 29, 30 years old and says, can I go have a cup of coffee with you? Yeah. And so go sit at a Starbucks with the person. And of course, I have to buy. And they look at me and this is what they say. I could say the conversation for them. I'm almost quoting everyone. Mike, I've wasted my life. I'm like, dude, you're 30. I know. But by the time you're 30, you're supposed to be on a direction with something in your life. All my friends are now married. They have jobs. Their life has meaning. And I can't keep a job delivering pizzas. What do I do? And what they're ultimately confessing to me is they hit this point in their life where all of a sudden they realize, I literally had a guy look at me and go, I am supposed to be a man now, but I am not. And for those of you who are young in this room, just hear me. I'm trying to say this. I'm being stern, but it's like I'm trying to love you as best I can to say, you don't want to land. Don't want to land there. And the culture champions the call of the lazy. Now, hear me once again. I'm not saying that watching TV and doing video games, that kind of stuff is bad. But when all of a sudden it consumes you and your whole joy and purpose in life is tied up into your virtual self, and you are celebrating the number of hours that you are sitting on the couch and the number of being the bags of Doritos you're putting down, and that's your great accomplishment, it may be that the voice of Proverbs needs to be heard. And so for those of you who are young, what happens is that once that path is started, there's a point where you will realize that everything Proverbs is saying is so totally true. Now, that's first application. For some of you, I just want to encourage you, think about this. Think about this and figure out what it looks like to hear the voice of Jesus, to trust in him, to repent of your sin, to hold on to him. To the rest of us, just a real quick application. The band can start making their way up here as I talk about this. But what happens is the Bible teaches us in this path and in other places that there are rhythms in our life of reaping and sowing. That there are periods of our life where we're supposed to be planting certain things. And as we plant those things into our lives, what will happen is later in life, we will have a harvest in our lives. But we have to be intentional. And so that first proverb we read where it says, I walked by and the vineyard was all, you know, it was all grown up with nettles. What he's telling himself is that if that person would have worked his land and planted his crop and done the work that he was supposed to do, now he would be getting a produce. He would be getting a crop. And several of the passages we read said this is the way it's supposed to happen. And so the Bible itself begins to tell us there are these stages of life where we should be investing certain things. We should be intentional about planting certain things in our lives. and very specifically planting things spiritually. And so here's a question for the rest of us, the application question. Are you ready? How many of us have already let ourselves off the hook this summer and said, I work hard, but we're sluggards in terms of our spiritual life? We are hard workers when it comes to our job, but when it comes to the things of investing the things of God and the beauty of the gospel and the wonder of the scriptures in our lives, we are sluggards because we are always making excuses. I'm so busy, I can never get to reading my Bible. It's too hard to get everybody to church on Sunday morning. And you know, when it's time to read the scriptures or to follow Christ, really invest the things in my life that I'm supposed to do, it's so much easier to hit the snooze bar. See, we can be really diligent in our lives when it comes to the rest of our lives and sluggards in terms of the spiritual things in our lives. And so we have stages of life, like the teen years. The whole idea of the teen years is what we ought to be planting, teenagers. You are literally, these are years of formation. So what you ought to be planting in your life are things like your character, your disciplines, your values. We live in a culture that says none of these things are really important. Your teen years are years of fun and living it up. This is your adolescence. And what happens is if you don't start planting character, if you don't start planting values, if you don't start shaping the disciplines in your life, what will happen is that when you come to the next stage of life where there should be a harvest because you invested these things in yourself, you'll find there's nothing there. And so kind of the next stage, it will be early adult years. And this is where most people are shaping their identity. By the way, I have the ages up here just as a general idea. This isn't a perfect thing. But what happens when you're 20 to 35-ish, somewhere in those years, what's happening, you are forming your identity. And if you planted the right thing in your teen years, if you began to plant character, what you're going to harvest during your early adult years is godly character and discipleship. You're going to find yourself to be a growing Christian and follower of Jesus and growing in the things of what it means to be a fruitful part of a culture. But often some of us come to that point and that's harvest isn't there. So what do? You start planting now. What should you be planting during your early adult years? You should be looking towards marriage, family, calling, career. In other words, what the Bible tells us is that young men especially, like Proverbs would say, young men, you need to get a job, you need to get a woman, and you need to get a ministry. Do those three things. Figure out what it looks like to find a wife, to find a career and a call, and to begin to serve God in his purpose in your church and in the world. But what happens often during our 20-something years, we aren't sowing these seeds. And so what happens at the next stage of life when the harvest of these is supposed to come up, people don't have them. This is the 30-something that I was talking about, saying, I should be doing this now and there's nothing there. The next stage is kind of the mid-adult years. This is the period where we should see productivity in our lives. In terms of life and economics, we have a house and the mortgage is getting paid down. In terms of what it looks like to have a job where we've been in a job for a while and we're seeing fruit to our labors, hopefully. But the intended harvest in terms of our spiritual life is faithfulness and fruit in life and family. All of a sudden, your kids are growing up. You're enjoying the beauty of children growing up. You're part of a church, and the connection to church just feels beautiful and wonderful, and you're developing deep relationships. You see fruit in your life and beauty in what's going on. And yes, it's a broken world, but man, you can just kind of sit back and go, man, this is great. But that comes because during your early adult years, you are investing in those other things. So what should you be planting during this time? Your seeds are what you invest your time, talents, and treasures. Where are you investing your money? Not just for retirement, but are you living for God's kingdom in these areas? And if you plant these seeds, what happens is when you hit your mature adult years, which I'm calling this is what you should be doing is developing a legacy here. The harvest, if you spend your mid-adult years living for the kingdom and you know sowing faithfulness in your and your family, what you'll begin to see is that these are years of passed on faith and values. All of a sudden, you are the one who's discipling people in your church, taking them under your wing and teaching them. All of a sudden, you are the one who is helping your kids to grow to love Jesus. And you're passing on who you've become. And you're leaving a legacy behind. That's the harvest. So what seeds? You should be investing in others. And that leads to the final stage here of your retirement years, which is the stage of completion after 65. And the intended harvest is that you're finishing well for the glory of God and the great joy of the person who's doing it. That all of a sudden, you become like my dad, where I talk to him every day, and he's just like, I love my life. I love my grandkids. I love what I'm doing. I'm just enjoying who I am. God is good. And what you do is you begin to plant your mission in suffering. That this stage of life often is filled with suffering, but how you suffer, will you suffer with joy for the glory of God, or will you be a grumpy old person? One of the biggest dangers in church is a bunch of grumpy old people who don't want to invest in mission at church. They just want to go back to living like it was 25 years ago. And see, so somewhere in that continuum, there you are. And the call of the sluggard isn't just do I work hard, but am I being faithful to the rhythms of investing and planting in my life now the things that are needed for the next harvest? And some of you in here in the room, you're like, I've missed two of those stages already. Well, the challenge of Proverbs is not how do we go back and start over. The challenge is how do I trust in Jesus and begin to plant the things in my life this afternoon that I need to move forward? That's the idea. How do I start living on the path now? And how do I trust in Jesus to do that? And that all that means is that we repent of our sin. If you see yourself on any level, you go, okay, Jesus, I'm broken, I need you. And we look to the cross as our hope, that God has already given his son to pay for your sin. And we trust in his forgiveness. And then we begin to respond to the goodness of God in our lives, knowing that every day in Christ is a chance for a new beginning. And so, like, if this morning was kind of hard on you, we love you. How do we respond? We stand up and we sing about the greatness of Jesus, who is our hope, right? That's how we respond. And as we sing, we live out of a heart that is generous. And so this morning, as part of our service, we will take up an offering. If you're a guest with us, this service is a gift for you. We don't ask you or we don't want you to give anything. We just hope that you will enjoy yourself and celebrate Jesus this morning. But for those who are part of the Genesis family, this is our time to say God has done so much for us, and we're going to give back to him. And we're going to do all this as a way to respond, to say Christ is good, and even where I struggle, he is my redeemer. All right? So I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, we're going to celebrate. Jesus, thank you for your love in our lives and for your goodness to help us be the person we cannot be on our own. And our prayer this morning is that where we find ourselves to be a little bit lazy, it may not be in just working. It may be the realization that I am a diligent person in the other areas of my life, but I'm a sluggard in my spiritual life. But wherever it is, Lord, help us to see the beauty of the gospel, the hope found in Christ, and to be transformed by your beauty and grace. In your name we pray. Amen.